Welcome to Cascade Covenants at the Movies. Every movie, this is our sermon series for the month of July, and every movie has a story, and we want to use that story to tell a message of hope and life. And so we're going to examine popular movies through the eyes of faith and talk about what we find. So we planned a little surprise for you this morning. We've got four tickets to the North Bend Theater that are waiting for someone to find, and we love it because this is so awkward. We stuck it under someone's seat. So you and I said it's not like obvious. Whoever hid it said you gotta actually look underneath there and see if you can find an envelope full of tickets. And if it's not under your seat, look in the empty seat next to yours. Bonus. We got people. It looks like you lost contacts or diamond earrings. Like, this is impressive. You guys are convinced it's not in your section, aren't you? You're right. Nobody found it? This is going to be good, okay? The rest of you get to watch while this section right here searches for the tickets. That's all I know. It's somewhere in this section. Maybe they played the joke on me. I saw the tickets. We found it. Yeah. Yay. It says, yay, it's you, right? All right, awesome. That's right. Mike was starting to nervously sweat. He's like, oh, no. Four tickets for you guys to go to the movies. You know, some of your family isn't here, so you could just not tell them. Take someone else. We promise not to let them know. But put July 18th on your calendar. It's a Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We've rented the North Bend Theater. This is kind of a fun thing that we're going to do as Cascade Covenant. We've got a private showing of Coco. So everyone's invited. You can bring family, friends, whoever you want to. It's going to be a fun evening. And we want to pack that place out. And then we're going to talk about Coco, the movie, on July 22nd. That's the following Sunday. Next week features The Greatest Showman. And last week, we talked about A Wrinkle in Time. Now, just so you know, like as a family, because this is always something that comes up and I think is a great conversation, you know, how is a family who's trying to follow Jesus, you know, there's different philosophies. We could all move to Montana or Alaska and move off the grid, you know, and just shelter ourselves from society to the other extreme where we just jump in without even thinking about it. And as a family, Corey and I have, you know, as parents, we've tried to navigate that, and we've always been pretty intentional about boundaries with our kids, especially as it relates to screen time and movies. We have this little saying in our house that, you know, an image is forever. So, you know, when you see stuff, I remember seeing stuff as a kid that just terrified me, and that's just like seared in your conscience, even as adult. So, you know, we take that seriously. We don't let our kids just watch any movie. So when we come to At the Movies in church, we've tried to pick ones that are friendly or at least PG rated for everyone. But you know, you as parents and as adults, you know, you might need to screen that first to see if it's appropriate for your kids and for your family. There's lots of good websites out there that you can kind of find out the plot outline. One of them that I've looked at in the past and actually even for this series is called HollywoodJesus.com, and they do movie reviews and pop culture reviews, music and all kinds of stuff. And they at least will put a list in there of some of the scenes that you might want to know of as a parent, whether it's violence or sexuality or language or whatever it is. So you can find most every movie that comes out, HollywoodJesus.com at least does a little review. So just a resource for you as we go to the movies. This morning, we are featuring The Black Panther. And just a spoiler alert, we're going to talk about the plot. But first, before we do that, I want you to watch this trailer. No sound? Yeah. You want me to be the sound, right? Okay. Spaceships on, right? We're flying. Whoosh. This is so crazy. Danny works on this. Honestly, even last week, we watched them all before the service, and then when we started them in the service, we watched them on the computer. And then when it got to the projector, it was all pixelated, so here we go.
I have seen gods fly. I've seen men build weapons that I couldn't even imagine.
Uh-huh.
I've seen aliens drop from the sky.
Yeah.
But I have never seen anything like this. How much more are you hiding?
Hola! Let's go, go, go.
We are home. My son, it is your time.
Show me my respect and bow down.
You get to decide what kind of king you are going to be. Don't freeze.
I never freeze.
The revolution will not be televised.
Show me my respect and bow down. We own ya. We own ya. We only getting started now. Cause we own ya. Everybody think they know me now. Cause we own ya. You and I my homies now. Cause we own ya.
I waited my entire life for this. The world's gonna start over.
I'ma burn it all.
What happens now determines what happens to the rest of the world.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out.
What's going on forever?
The revolution will not be televised.
Let's have some fun.
The revolution will be live.
So this week, I saw someone from church who hadn't seen that movie before, and I don't like run out to watch every Marvel movie, and I was like, I didn't know what to expect from this either, and this person from church was like, it was pretty good, and that was my reaction too. It's like, whoa, I actually really like that film, and this is the trailer. The timeline for the film follows, you know, Marvel movie timelines, and there was a previous one, I think called Civil War, where the Black Panther was in that one. And Wakanda's longtime king, who was named T'Chaka, is killed in a bomb blast. And so this movie follows his son, who's named T'Challa. Okay, so T'Chaka and T'Challa. There's going to be a quiz afterwards. T'Challa is played by Chadwick Boseman. He's crowned king, and he's got to decide what kind of king is he going to be. Can he protect his people and honor their traditions in an increasingly chaotic world? That's kind of the theme of the movie. And other characters include Eric Killmonger, who's the villain. I know, Killmonger. It's a comic book series, okay. But the character's like real life name is even better. Michael B. Jordan. Isn't that awesome? And Nakia character in the movie is played by Lupita Nyong'o. You're going to love how I try and pronounce these names. Okoye is played by Danai Gurira. Shuri, who is like Q from the James Bond movies, this brilliant, innovative woman who creates all this technology. That's Letitia Wright. Forrest Whitaker makes an appearance in this. And then Andy Serkis is also this other kind of villain who's in the movie. And the voice in the trailer was a CIA agent named Everett Ross. And he just discovers that the impoverished, landlocked African nation of Wakanda is actually more than meets the eye. Wakanda is, in fact, a technological powerhouse more advanced than any country on Earth. And that's why Agent Ross asks Wakanda's new king, T'Challa, how much are you hiding? Who knew that Wakanda's obscurity is very calculated This country that T'Challa is king of has practiced for centuries isolationist politics because they sit on one of the most precious metals and immensely powerful natural resources, which is called vibranium. You've never heard of it because you've never read Marvel Comics, okay? But it's out there. It's real. Vibranium is the source of Wakanda's strength. And so why do they live in this obscurity? Why do they isolate themselves from the rest of the planet? Well, watch this next scene. This is the start of the movie, and it explains
Baba?
Why.
Yes, my son?
Tell me a story.
Which one?
The story of home.
Millions of years ago, a meteorite made of vibranium, the strongest substance in the universe, struck the continent of Africa, affecting the plant life around it. And when the time of men came, five tribes settled on it and called it Wakanda. The tribes lived in constant war with each other until a warrior shaman received a vision from the panther goddess Bast, who led him to the heart-shaped herb, a plant that granted him superhuman strength, speed, and instincts. The warrior became king and the first Black Panther, the protector of Wakanda. Four tribes agreed to live under the king's rule, but the Jabari tribe isolated themselves in the mountains. The Wakandans used vibranium to develop technology more advanced than any other nation. But as Wakanda thrived, the world around it descended further into chaos. To keep vibranium safe, the Wakandans vowed to hide in plain sight, keeping the truth of their power from the outside world.
And we still hide, Baba?
Yes.
Why?
Why? Why hide? That's kind of the overarching question that's in the background for the rest of the film. And so you got in kind of the quick snapshot, there's these warring tribes, and one of them finds this special magical power that makes one of them be super strong, the Black Panther. And this resource, vibranium, allows them to become more technologically advanced than any other nation on Earth. But as Wakanda thrives, the rest of the world descends into chaos. And there we saw images of slaves being loaded onto a ship, of planes and tanks fighting a war. And so they decided, they made this decision that affected the rest of their country forever, to hide in plain sight. And so they play this part of the poor third world nation, and the rest of the world just simply ignores them. But the reason they do this is because they're trying to keep this technology out of the hands of people who might use it for evil, which is a sermon I probably could give and won't touch on this morning, because technology is one of the characters in this film that is just kind of in the background. If you don't think about it, you don't, I mean, is technology good? No, technology is only used by people. But sometimes it's used very poorly and for bad reasons. So why? Why hide is in the background of this film. And it is a great film. You know, this one is loved by moviegoers, critics alike. It gets almost a perfect 100 on Rotten Tomatoes, which I always have to think, is that a good movie on Rotten Tomatoes, or does that mean it's rotten? No, it means it's good. It gets almost a perfect score. 7.5 on Internet Movie Database out of 10, which is quite high. And at the box office, it did phenomenal. It's $1.3 billion and counting worldwide. So that's a lot of money. And many people have found The Black Panther both to be entertaining, but also pretty thought-provoking, because it's exploring themes of race and racism. It's exploring themes of heroism and who are the heroes in your life, of identity and responsibility. So this character, the Black Panther, it's been part of Marvel Comics for 50 years. He first appeared in 1966, created by Jack Kirby and Stan Lee. And over the years, others have kind of refined his characters. And so if you're a comic book fan, You think the Black Panther is like one of the smartest and most powerful members of the Avengers. And I won't tell you who those are if you don't know who they are. So a lot of people have been anticipating this film for a long time. And so this movie follows, as I said, T'Challa, the new king, and he's torn. Should he protect his people or should he follow his own kind of moral code? And in a review I read on Vox.com, Carlos Waters and Gina Burton wrote this. They said, at the heart of every decision, every meeting, every action is T'Challa's responsibility to his people. His fear is that Wakanda will, under his watch, be revealed for the rich paradise it truly is. And the Western world enthusiastically believes that it's poor. And once they discover it, it will invite greed and violence from the outside world. But at the same time, T'Challa is becoming more aware that the outside world is struggling with the ills of poverty, human trafficking, injustice, inequality, problems that Wakanda has largely solved and could easily fix. And faced with this moral challenge, T'Challa must reconcile whether this great and powerful country can truly be great and powerful if it does not help others. And this falls right in line with the director, Ryan Coogler. He describes the film's central theme and responsibility and identity. And he says, is something great to say. He says, what do the powerful owe those in need? This movie separates the good guys from the villains. What value is strength unless you're using it to help someone? Wakanda pretends to be just another struggling African country, but some of its neighbors are struggling for real. If Wakandans don't stand up for themselves, who will? But if they stand only for themselves, then who are they? And just to think that all of us wanted to go to the movies to just be entertained, right? Suddenly we have to think. It's just too much. Well, in this next clip, T'Challa speaks to his father. And as part of a special ceremony before being crowned king, he drinks this magic potion, and it allows him to wake up in dreamland and speak to his deceased father about being a good leader. Here we go.
Stand up. You are a king. Into neku kata zayonya. Ade tonde hindi rade baba. Bumba kubong. Buhlala uzlung selela ukuba. Ikumka. Ndikufundisa, ndikuqeqesha. Uhleli apha ecaleni kwam. That is not what I am talking about. I am not ready to be without you. A man who has not prepared his children for his own death has failed as a father. Have I ever failed you? Never. Tell me how to best protect Wakanda. I want to be a great king, Baba. Just like you. You're going to struggle.
So you'll need to surround yourself with people you trust.
You're a good man. With a good heart.
and it's hard for a good man to be king.
I got so into that, I forgot that you were all here. So being a good leader, or at a more basic level, being responsible starts with being prepared. It's a little bit about what that clip was trying to communicate, is being prepared. And the Bible speaks about preparation on several levels. One is simply planning ahead. That's expressed by Bible verses like Proverbs 6, 6 through 8. I'll put this on the screen to you. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, and yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Simply saying, be prepared. Think ahead. Plan ahead. Even when we plan ahead, challenges and trials await us. You know, like Chahala's father says, you are going to struggle. You're going to struggle. And for Christians, believing in God, following Jesus, isn't a magic cure-all for the troubles that we may face in our lives. And there's a difference, actually, between troubles of our own making and circumstances of life that are beyond our control. You know, when we make poor choices or sinful choices, there are often natural consequences that follow us. But sometimes there are circumstances in our life simply beyond our control, or worse. For followers of Jesus, we may or we will experience trials because of our faith in him. You know, Jesus says as much when he's speaking to his disciples, and we see this in John 16, verse 33. He says to them, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. You know, God is always with us. Unlike people that we look up to and that we respect and that we depend on in our own lives and that we love, unfortunately, they are not always with us. But God is. And when we face hardship, that does not mean that God is absent. So being prepared for us might be one thing, but feeling ready is a completely different question. So in the last clip, T'Challa says to his father, I'm not ready. And his father responds, have you not studied? Have you not prepared to be a king your whole entire life? And he's offering his encouragement to his son. He's saying, you've got what it takes. And if you were here at church over Father's Day, my message then, I was pointing out the words of God the Father when Jesus the Son was baptized. And he said, this is my son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Even Christ needed that encouragement from his dad. And so it's the simple encouragement that fathers can offer their kids, no matter how old or how young they may be, just simply saying, you got what it takes. I believe in you. Then he says, no, I'm not ready to be without you. I'm not ready to be without you. And when I first saw this film, it hit me. It's like, that's grief. That's grief. T'Challa admired and respected his dad. He was his hero. He loved him deeply. And you know, there's no way to ever be ready to lose someone you love. C.S. Lewis once wrote, losing someone you love is like losing a leg. You know the wound will heal, but you'll always walk with a limp. Grief is the pain of that loss. The wound will heal, but your life will be forever changed. But you know, in Christ, we have hope. Our faith is one where we believe this life is not all there is. And for those who choose Christ, we'll experience a new life, a resurrection life with God. And for our loved ones,
who've also put their faith in Jesus will see them again. In the movie, there's this element of ancestor worship. It's common to a number of cultures around the globe. And living in eternity for Christians is more than just living on in the memories of my loved ones. That's a theme that we're going to explore in the movie Coco because it's pretty prominent in that one. But the resurrection of Christ was just a little glimpse of what God has prepared for us. You know, we have a body in this life, we're going to have a body in the next life. We're going to be conscious, we're going to be able to do things. I mean, that's the resurrection life. It's much more than just a thought or a memory that exists on in the life of the living. And, you know, we don't know the time or the place of our death. The Bible makes it pretty clear. It's our responsibility, our job to be ready, to choose God now, to tend our soul now, to live the way that he's designed for us to live right now. At the beginning of that scene, T'Challa kneels down and he says, "I'm sorry." He did this because he'd felt that he'd failed his father. He'd failed in his responsibility to protect him. He had let his dad down because he was there when that bomb blast killed him. And so he had carried this around. You realize he'd carried this regret of not having done enough to save his dad, of having questions that he'd wanted to always ask him and hadn't, or said things that he'd never said. And so he just simply says, "I'm sorry, I failed you." He kneels down, and his father says, "Stand up. Stand up, you're a king." It's this beautiful gesture of forgiveness, of restoration. And soon, T'Challa and his father would kind of switch roles. The one who was forgiven would struggle with being the forgiver. And there's some foreshadowing that happens when his dad says, "Have I ever failed you?" He's like, "No, never." Soon, T'Challa would find out that his hero, his dad, held a powerful secret. He'd killed his own brother. And he'd done it to protect the country Wakanda, but he'd also left behind his brother's son, orphaned and alone on the streets of Oakland, California. And so T'Challa's view of his dad was completely shaken. And so in this next scene, we're gonna watch as he talks about this with his friend Nakia.
"He killed his own brother and left a child behind with nothing. What kind of king? What kind of man does that?"
"No man is perfect. Not even your father."
"He didn't even give him a proper burial. My uncle Njobu betrayed us, but my father, he may have created something even worse."
"Hey, look at me. You can't let your father's mistakes define who you are. You get to decide what kind of king you are going to be."
They're just serving it up for pastors right there. That scene holds one of the treasures, I think, in this entire film. You can't let your father's mistakes define you. I could give another whole sermon on that one right there. You know, in my work as a pastor, I see this over and over again, whether it's counseling a student whose parents are getting divorced, encouraging someone whose mom is an addict or dad went to jail, or listening to tales of a family's financial mismanagement and greed. Maybe it's people who discover ugly family secrets that shake them to the core. You can't let your father or your mother or your grandparents or whoever it may be define you. Don't let their mistakes define you. Even if it has created a mess in your own life, you can't erase their decisions. But you do have the power to choose. You have the power to choose your reaction, You have the power to decide how you will move forward, to take ownership of what you can, to be responsible for your own decisions, and let that define you instead. You know, the Bible talks about the wages of sin being death, physical death, yes. But along the way, our sinful choices also just have a way of sucking the life out of us. They become like an anchor. But the good news we find in Jesus Christ is in forgiveness. It's in healing of our hurts and our pain. It's from freedom, freedom from sin, especially generational sin committed by your ancestors, people in your past. You know, families have a way of recycling mistakes. Families have a way of recycling poor habits. But you can start a new legacy in Christ. You know, with his power, with his help, you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here, and you can be free from your family's mistakes. They don't have to define who you are. So T'Challa wasn't just wrestling with the past. He was also worried about the future. In his role, he and Wakanda, he was wondering what they should play in the broader community of the world. So as I mentioned at the start, for years Wakanda had had this practice of hiding. They had embedded spies throughout the entire world, so they kind of kept tabs on it. And they watched as Western powers plundered their continent during colonial times. They witnessed the ills of human trafficking, both in its present form and also in the slave trade of the past. They were deeply, deeply aware of the poverty and racism crushing so many African nations and even communities that had African roots that were spread all around the world. But instead of getting involved, Wakanda stood silent. It stood on the sidelines, as they said, hiding in plain sight. They decided their responsibility was to protect their way of life, protect themselves, which had many complicated reasons behind it for sure, but when you say it like that, it just sounds simply selfish. You know, this movie makes fairly blunt social commentary on the responsibility, if any, that the wealthy and powerful have towards those who are poor and oppressed. And so this is where we meet the character Nakia. Nakia and T'Challa were once a couple. They remain friends. And now she serves as a Wakandan spy. And so Nakia sees the brokenness of the world. She refuses to just stand idly by and watch like everyone else seems to be doing in Wakanda. And as a viewer, you get the sense that this is the reason why T'Challa and Nakia are no longer together, even though it's clear they like one another. So in this next scene, T'Challa urges Nakia to stay home, stay in Wakanda, rather than going back to the outside world.
Come home, Nakia.
I'm right here.
Stay.
I came to support you and to honor your father, but I can't stay. It's just I found my calling out there. I've seen too many in need just to turn a blind eye. I can't be happy here knowing that there's people out there who have nothing.
What would you have Wakanda do about it?
Share what we have. We could provide aid and access to technology and refuge to those who need it. Other countries do it, we could do it better.
You are not like these other countries, Nakia. If the world found out what we truly are, what we possess, we could lose our way of life.
Wakanda is strong enough to help others and protect ourselves at the same time.
If you are not so stubborn, you would make a great queen.
I would make a great queen because I am so stubborn.
Ah, if
that's
it.
What I wanted.
If that's what she wanted. So she says, I can't stay. It's just that I found my calling out there. I've seen too many in need to turn a blind eye. You know, several years ago, I read a book called A Hole in Our Gospel. It was by Richard Stearns, who is the president of World Vision. He actually just retired, World Vision USA. And this book explores this topic from a Christian point of view. You know, one of Jesus' most fundamental teachings was love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? Well, for Jesus, he put no boundary on who your neighbor could be. It was simply showing mercy to anyone in need that God put in your path. Because all people matter to God. Not just people who look or act or think or even vote, just like you. Realistically, we know that as human beings, we have limits. We cannot help every person or solve every issue. So what do? Well, in the last 100 years, technology has altered the way we live more than in the previous 1,000 or maybe 2,000 or more combined. You know, it's now conceivable that my actions can have an impact not just on people down the street, you know, my literal neighbors, but my actions can have an impact on people who live on the other side of the globe. It's a small world after all. And one of World Vision's mantras that Richard Stern talks about is that no one can do everything, but everyone can do something. No one can do everything, but everyone can do something. So pay attention. Pay attention to the people and the opportunities that God has placed in your life. I can't do everything. I do have limits, but I can do something. And this is a lot like Nakia's attitude. But her attitude is met with skepticism. You know, helping others does have consequences. We could lose our way of life, T'Challa says. Yes, yes. When you choose to get involved, it will change you. It'll change your life. Helping others has consequences, but not helping them does too. That's a point this movie makes. Hiding and watching on the sidelines does create complications as well. You know, in the movie, Wakanda's choice not to get involved, to help the poor, to protect people that they could have but chose not to, that's the reason that the villain, Eric Killmonger, becomes the person that he is. That's the reason why Wakanda is threatened and the rest of the world in this movie. Ironically, Nakia and the villain in the movie both want to help the oppressed, but they have radically different approaches. Nakia wants to come alongside. She's motivated by compassion and love. The villain wants to arm the oppressed, to take their weapons and their technology and give them away so that the oppressed can rise up and throw off their oppressors. Yes, it may look like justice, but it's motivated by anger and retaliation. So as followers of Jesus, when we wrestle with the question of what's my responsibility? What's my responsibility to those who are hurting, who are poor, who are oppressed in this world or in my life? Or even as we wrestle with that question collectively as a church, as a body of Christ, what's our responsibility? We always need to look at our motives for justice. It's not to clean up the world and to fix it, that's God's job. It's not really even to save the world, that's Jesus' job. Our job is to be generous, to share what God has so graciously given us. Our job is to extend mercy. You know, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do to you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are motivated by compassion. Those are motivated by love. Love that God has put in our hearts. Because that's the way of Christ, and it can be our way too. Please join me in prayer. Lord, the way of Christ isn't always obvious to us, and it isn't always easy either. And so as we live in this world, but try not to be of this world, Lord, there are so many instances, so many things that pop up, that hit our radar screen. Help us through your Holy Spirit to be sensitive to them and to you. God, none of us can do everything. We're not God. but we can do something. We can join with you. You've invited us, Lord, to be agents for you in this world. So help us. Help us to have the courage to get involved, maybe when we don't want to. Help us to find the resources, whether it's time or money, to share with opportunities that you put in our lives. God, help us to have discernment, to see things even as simple as movies and to read them with discerning eyes through the eyes of faith, Lord. Help us to be your followers on this earth who can make a difference. In your name, we pray all of these things. Amen. Well, please rise for this morning's benediction. Go in God's presence, go in God's peace, and go in God's purpose. As we are his agents for change, as we seek to be responsible and resourceful and generous and sharing and compassionate and loving in this world that we live in around us. Amen? Amen. See you next week.